This is the story of the one. Who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit MedMutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Kind of a chilly one, but still, you know, hey, listen, we're looking at mid-November now. If you haven't turned the heat on by now, you might be the champion for this year. You might have won. It's okay. You can turn it on. Don't turn it up too high, but you can turn it on. Because this day is a little bit different than it's been other mornings. Yesterday was a little bit chilly waking up, but the day kind of evened out. But this morning, I got out of the electric blanket bliss of my bed. I usually, when I get up in the morning, I get out of bed, I go into my office, my home office, turn on the computer so I can do a little show prep, turn on my fish tank light so I can feed my fish. And this morning I had to turn on the little space heater that I'm using in there. Then when it's time to take a shower, turn on the little heater in the shower. And in my mind, this is saving me money because I'm not turning on the gas heater. But it's still, you know, it had me thinking this morning, maybe I should just have the heat on overnight. So that when I wake up, I'm not totally freezing. But then, you know, I'm like an hour, I'm out of the house. So it seems like a waste. Don't, you know, things will be warm enough when I get home. Doesn't take long to warm it back up again. So, but anyway, you might be feeling a little bit differently as you crawl out of bed. So I do want to give you a warning that has come from the city of New Bedford. Because of the drought that we are in, and because of a statewide directive, the city of New Bedford is prohibiting non-essential outdoor water uses, namely sprinkler systems, on account of the drought conditions across the Northeast. The restrictions will remain in effect until further notice. So just the other day, it was declared that Massachusetts is in significant drought status. But this portion of Massachusetts, rather, southeastern Massachusetts, is in significant drought status. Significant drought status. Because the lack of rain, I mean, I know we had some rain the other day, but it's not enough. But the lack of rain has us already in drought conditions. And then you combine with that, you know, that dry air and the fact that we've had a lot of wind and we've got some dangerous fire conditions. They're still battling those wildfires up in, you know, North Shore area. and a few others. There were some in Rhode Island over the weekend and over the past few days. So the fire danger is very high. And also, when you're in drought conditions, you've got to conserve water, not only because you need it for battling those fires, but just in general. However, the city release does point out that this restriction is precautionary, that the water level in the Assawamset Pond Complex in Lakeville and Rochester, which is where the city gets its drinking water from, shows signs of drought, but remains healthy. So nothing to worry about right now. But that's why we need people to proactively conserve water. So no sprinkler systems. I know some of you are going to keep that lawn going as long as you can, but at least for the time being, you have to forego the sprinkler system. We also got an update yesterday from the Cape and Islands District Attorney, Robert J. Galloboy, who gave us not only the identity of the person whose remains were found in that burned vehicle in Sandwich on Monday, but also an idea of what happened. So the remains were identified as those of 86-year-old Susan Lauber of Sandwich. And there was a lot of rumor and speculation going around Sandwich yesterday about who that might have been, what might have happened. And I heard a variety of different stories. People that, you know, because we have the story up, so people are like, oh, well, let me tell you what I heard. And really none of that turned out to be accurate. But basically what happened was the woman was driving in the area of Peter's Pond in Sandwich before dawn on Monday. And when she got to the last cottage on the road, she left the paved road, drove around the cottage and into the woods. It doesn't say why that might have happened, but that's what happened. And then due to the pitch of the wooded terrain, the vehicle came to a stop leaning on the passenger side, and a fire was ignited as a result of the crash, which ultimately engulfed the entire vehicle and burned Lauber inside. So my guess is if the vehicle landed on the passenger side, she can't get herself out. She probably had her seatbelt on. She can't get herself out, and she was trapped in the vehicle. So a very sad story, but at least now we know, you know, some semblance of what happened there. Another story to make you aware of. The city put out a release yesterday saying that two of the city's voting precincts were randomly chosen to be part of a statewide audit following the presidential election. So apparently it is required by state law that after a presidential election, some precincts are randomly audited. Three percent of all precincts in Massachusetts must be hand counted, and according to the Secretary of State's office, must be chosen in a random, publicly verifiable, non-computerized drawing supervised by the Secretary. So as such, Ward 5 Precinct B and Ward 6 Precinct B will be audited by hand count this afternoon at 4 p.m. at the Ashley Room at City Hall. I don't know how long that's going to take, but the public is invited to come and watch that. And the results of the hand count will be posted to the Secretary of State's website within 10 days of receiving the results. Now, this doesn't mean that anything happened with the New Bedford election. In fact, by all accounts, it was very smooth. They fixed the issues that were going on previously with some of the voting machines not being plugged in and running out of ballots and things like that. And they're not the only local voting precincts that are being audited. They're also doing it in Dartmouth, Fairhaven, and Acushnet. So it does seem weird that if you got to audit 3% and they're happening, you know, these three towns together, all right near each other, it seems odd that they would, 3% of all the precincts in the in the state, and they're all right there next to each other. But anyway, so like I said, it seems like everything went perfectly fine with the election, but this is just part of the state's process. And then another local story for you to be aware of. There was a lawsuit that had been filed against the city of New Bedford regarding Emily and Ruth, the Asian elephants at Buttonwood Park Zoo. It was filed by Joyce Rowley, who had sued the city before over the elephants. You know, she has been, in her mind, a watchdog for the care of those elephants. She's been public about the fact that she would rather see them taken to a sanctuary and not part of the Buttonwood Park Zoo. She previously sued the city in 2017, saying that the city was neglecting the elephants in violation of the Endangered Species Act by failing to provide sufficient shelter, space, social opportunities, veterinary care, and nutrition. And in that lawsuit in 2019, it was settled in favor of the city, with the judge saying that the city has supported the zoo with an adequate budget, had attracted a cadre of dedicated, professional, empathic, and innovative zookeepers, and had employed top-notch veterinarians whenever necessary. That was the 2017 lawsuit. So in 2021, she filed another lawsuit. And this time, she was alleging that the condition of Ruth in particular was concerning, that Ruth had, quote, lost two of her toe bones in her left foot due to neglect, and that Ruth had sores on her body due to conditions at the zoo and was experiencing a condition called learned helplessness, in which she stays frozen in a certain spot for hours at a time. Now, the judge in this case, Judge Saylor, who dismissed the lawsuit, said that Rowley failed to prove that Ruth had lost any bones in her toes, and added that Rowley is neither a veterinarian nor a radiologist, because the reason why Rowley made these claims is she claimed to have seen radiographs that showed this. And the judge said she's neither a veterinarian nor a radiologist and therefore is not qualified to interpret radiographs of an elephant's foot. And he said in terms of the claim of sores on her body, he said that Rowley offered no evidence, expert or otherwise, to support the sores were caused by a failure to deliver proper care and conditions. And he said that she was unable to prove her claim of learned helplessness. He also talked about her courtroom behavior, noting that she became increasingly agitated and disputatious during cross-examination on the third day, then emailed a court employee on the morning of the fourth day to say she would not be attending, and then filed a motion for recusal of the judge, which was denied. The court then asked her to show why the case should not be dismissed with prejudice, because that's what the lawyers asked for. They said, you know, they're like, there's nothing here. And she responded to that with another motion for recusal, which was also denied. And so then the lawyers for the city asked for a direct verdict, which is where, you know, you're basically saying that there's not enough evidence to merit even making a decision, you know, to even go forward with it. They gave her a chance to respond. She did not. The judge therefore dismissed the lawsuit. So I reached out to Joyce Rowley yesterday, and she said she has appealed the decision, that it's on appeal at the Court of Appeals for the First Circuit. And she says, I have also filed a motion for a stay and for an injunction to prevent the city from euthanizing Ruth and or transferring Emily out of the reach of the court. She said the city, and if you remember last month on October 22nd, they announced that Ruth had entered hospice. So she's getting end of life care. And Joyce said, the city arbitrarily put Ruth in hospice and did not have the courtesy to give me prior notice. Requests for documentation have gone unanswered. I find the situation highly suspect. So I don't know what you think about Joyce Rowley and her efforts. I've seen, you know, support for her viewpoint that the elephants should be moved to a sanctuary. I've seen people who have said those elephants have lived here for decades and this is their home and they are well cared for. So I've seen a lot of discussion, especially when we had the story about the hospice care for Ruth. But what do you think? 508-996-0500. The part that stuck out to me is when she says, the city arbitrarily put Ruth in hospice and did not have the courtesy to give me prior notice. And I didn't follow up and ask her, because it didn't dawn on me until after I was, you know, putting the story together and I was writing it all out and I was putting in the information that she had sent me via email. I requested a statement from her via email. And as I'm kind of rereading that, as I'm putting it into the story, I was like, at first I just thought it meant, you know, without giving me prior notice because I'm having, you know, I'm in the middle of a lawsuit with him about it. But then as I reread it, I was like, wait, does she think she's in charge of the elephants? Like that they need to check with her before they do something? Because all of you pay for the zoo. All of you pay for the care of those elephants. Nobody checked with you before they put her in hospice care because you know that the veterinary folks, the zoologists, everybody that works over there know what they're doing. And investigations and studies have been done into the way that they take care of the elephants that have found that they are doing the right thing. There were experts that testified in this lawsuit that they're doing the right thing. So. I'd like to think that she just meant, you know, because of this ongoing litigation, they didn't say anything to me. I don't think that it, right? It can't mean she thinks she's in charge of the elephants. But anyway, what do you think? 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. So those are some of the things that we can discuss. There are some other things that I'm going to bring up today, including a local restaurant, a New Bedford restaurant yesterday, posted to Facebook a change in its reservation policy. And it's getting a lot of conversation online, both on their Facebook page, on our Facebook page, on the Fun 107 Facebook page, but also in some of the restaurant groups. And there's some pretty interesting back and forth going on about this topic. And I want to bring that to you as well and get your thoughts on it. But right now, let's take our first break of the morning. We'll be back in just a few moments. Last time that we had this conversation, I decided we should be friends. Hey, but now we're going round in circles. Tell me, will this deja vu never end? Oh, and now you tell me that you're falling. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. You know, I get super nostalgic for the pop music that hit in like late 96, early 97, when Spice Girls became huge. Like that was an interesting time because pop music had kind of fallen by the wayside for a while. And then it made this huge comeback. And then eventually you had all the boy bands that came out. But Spice Girls were kind of the ones that helped kick that off. And I remember it sounded so different because we'd spent the last few years listening to you know, grunge and hip hop and all that stuff. And it was like, but I like this. It seems so passe, but yet so fresh at the same time. And I was a big Spice Girls fan. And at the time, you know, I was dating my ex-wife and her sister was big into the Spice Girls. So they had the video game. They had the DVD of the VHS of the movie. So there was a lot of Spice Girls going on around me. And I was like, well, I like this music. I've never been a Spice Girls hater. I mean, I'm not going to go see them in concert, but if somebody asked me to go with them, I probably would. Anyway, Jeff in Fall River sent a Snapchat message regarding the lawsuit and the elephants. And he says, if Ruth and Emily were neglected, they would have died a long time ago. I think they lived a pretty good life. Well, that's the thing. We learned when they announced that Ruth had entered hospice care, we learned that the average age for a female Asian elephant is 47. Ruth is 66. And I believe Emily is 60 or 61. So they've already well lived past the average life expectancy for a female Asian elephant. Now, I don't know if that's, you know, in captivity versus in the wild. But still, that's pretty good to have lived, you know, just about 20 years over your life expectancy. That's what, like a human being living to just about 100? If somebody lived to be 100 years old, you would say, wow, they had a pretty good life. They made it to 100 or just about. And you would know that they probably were taken care of to get to that point. They weren't neglected and just happened to make it to 100. So I agree. I think that they are well taken care of. And that's not based on my own observances. That's based on all of the people who have come in and observed the repeated accreditation that the zoo gets. Like, this is one person's campaign because she doesn't want the elephants kept in New Bedford. And she's trying to find whatever way she can to achieve those means. And for the second time now, it has failed. And keep in mind, I know what you're thinking. Well, if everything is okay, then the city doesn't have anything to worry about. Except now that's twice that the city has had to pay lawyers to defend them in a lawsuit that had no merit. Twice. From a person, and this is not a slight against Joyce Rowley. I don't know her as a person, really. But this is a person that wanted to be one of your city councilors. She was running for city council in the last election. She wants to be in charge of deciding the city budget, yet engage the city in two lawsuits for what point? And it sounds like, from the way that Judge Saylor characterized it in his decision, at least in the information that was provided to us, that things got contentious with her during this because she realized she wasn't going to win. So are these frivolous lawsuits she's bringing to try to make a point and making the city spend money to defend itself against? So these are just, you know, things to think about. Something else to think about is, as I mentioned, a restaurant in New Bedford posted a new a change to its reservation policy. Nuno's Restaurant on Belleville Avenue had a post yesterday morning that said, due to a growing number of no-show booked reservations, effective immediately, all reservations must be made through our website and a credit card number is required to book. There is a fee of $5 per person for a no-show reservation. Credit cards will only be charged if the reservation does not show up. Please visit nunosnewbedford.com. So that's the basic gist of this here is you are now, if you want to make a reservation at Nuno's, you have to do it online and you have to give them your credit card number in advance And if you don't show up for your reservation, you'll be charged $5 a person. So if it's you and your significant other and you don't show up, you're getting charged 10 bucks. If it's you and a party of seven other people and something happens and you don't, you know, you decide not to show up, and that's going to be 40 bucks. So Gazelle over at Fun 107 reached out to Nuno and tried to get some more information. And he said, basically, you know, there's been a lot of customers that have been making reservations and not showing up. And, you know, he pointed out that, as he said, I think taking a reservation for somebody, it's like, I'm not going to say a benefit, but it's like a convenience. People are making reservations and they're not showing. We're refusing walk-ins at times, telling people it's a half an hour to 45-minute wait, and selling. And some people are willing to wait, but then we have these empty tables. It doesn't make any sense. And he says it's been getting worse over time, and that if it continues to get worse, they might just do away with reservations altogether. So I think that's one of the rudest things that you can do is book a reservation and then not show up. It's super easy to call a restaurant and say, I can't make it. I have a reservation. I'm not going to be able to make it. Please give my table away to somebody else. Please give my table to the next person in line. Or maybe you call and say, you know, I can't make it there. And then the restaurant can say, well, when can you make it? Because, you know, we don't have a lot of reservations booked, or, you know, things are kind of slow tonight. We can hold it for you a little bit longer if you'd need us to. Because I'm sure some of these no-shows aren't people that completely don't want to dine there all of a sudden. It could be that they're running behind and they think to themselves, well, they've already given away our table, so let's just go somewhere else. But if you called, you know, then they could say, well, we have an opening in 45 minutes. Would that be easier for you? But it's just rude not to call. It's rude to ask somebody to reserve it for you, to hold it for you, and then not have the decency to call and let them know that there's changes to it. Just regular human decency. Now, when I go to get a haircut, my barber does everything by appointment now. He started doing the online scheduling when they could reopen after COVID, and he liked it, so he stuck with it. And he'll still take walk-ins here and there when he doesn't have things, you know, scheduled, and there's some hours he doesn't book because he leaves those open for walk-ins. Because, you know, let's face it, the 85-year-old guys that are coming in on a Saturday morning, they're not making reservations online. So he has, you know, a pretty good system set up. And like I said, it's a half an hour appointment that he sets aside for every haircut. It doesn't take him a half an hour to cut my hair. He can do my haircut in 15, 20 minutes. But I don't show up 10 minutes late and think to myself, well, I've got this spot reserved, so he's not going to do anything if I don't show up. If I'm not there at 3:05, well, maybe, you know, maybe he gives me a few minutes more, but he's going to take the next person, or there's somebody sitting in there waiting to see if somebody no-shows. So if I'm going to be running behind, I would call and say, hey, Walter, I'll be there in a few minutes. Like, I don't get why that's such a hard thing for people. I understand people don't like to make phone calls anymore. I know. I'm one of them. Talking to all of you on the phone here on the show is all the phone conversations I want to have during the course of a day. I do not want to speak on the phone if I can help it at all. If a friend calls me, I will answer the phone and speak to them because they know I don't usually take phone calls, so if they're calling me, it's got to be something important. People call my office. And I'll wait. I'll let it go to voicemail. Usually I'm not over by the computer or the phone anyway. But then I'll respond back with an email. I don't want to talk on the phone. I get it. But you also made a reservation and asked somebody to hold up their business for you. So you're going to have to swallow that and pick up the phone and dial and speak to a human being and say, I'd like to cancel my reservation. Or I'm just running a few minutes behind. I'll be there. And by the way, if you're going to say that, if you're going to say, I'm running a few minutes behind, I'll be there. That should be followed up with, but I understand if you can't hold my reservation. Because it's not their fault you're running behind. I was a person that was chronically late to everything, all the time. I seem to have broken myself out of that habit, knock on for Micah, but I hope that that is, you know, something that is done with, but I also know that I can still cut it close a lot of the time. And then as someone who did that for so long, I'm embarrassed for myself now of how much of other people's time I wasted, how much concern or worry I caused them when I wasn't somewhere on time. You know, every time I booked a library lecture, I know it only takes me 5 minutes to set up and get ready to go. But you know who doesn't know that? The library. So when I'm not there by 10 of, they're getting concerned. I could have just picked up the phone and said, I'll be there. Don't worry. I'll be ready to go as soon as I get there. But I didn't. I just showed up 5 minutes before and they're like, oh, good. You're here. You know, and then you realize that you cause people undue stress and worry for your own selfish reasons. And in this case, in the case of restaurants like Nuno's, you're costing them business. Because as they're holding that table for you, someone else comes in and says, I'd like to get a table. I'm sorry. Everything we have is on reservation. And then they get mad and they leave. Or, you know, maybe they're not mad, but they still leave anyway because they don't want to wait. And then you don't show up, that's money that they just watched walk out the door. And someone else who wanted to enjoy a nice meal there that now can't. So yeah, I think you should have to pay something if you screw them over on that. And when I saw this posted, I was talking about it with Gazelle and I said, you know, I don't know how people are going to feel about that. Well, it turns out that they're actually quite supportive of the idea. Most people who are commenting, and people not only on our Facebook pages, but also in some of the restaurant groups on Facebook, they are saying that $5 is too low. They're saying that they should basically charge, you know, some people are saying they should charge what they would have gotten from those people as a profit. So let's just say somebody goes out and spends $100 on dinner for two people. And I don't know, you know, I know that the things I've gotten from Nuno's as an entree, like around $20-$25. So let's just say two people are going to come out, have a drink. Doesn't have to be alcohol, but have a drink, have two entrees, maybe share an appetizer. You're probably looking at $80 to $100 for the bill. And then food cost is 30%, about 33% of the final bill. That's the general rule of thumb in the restaurant industry. So, you know, you're lucky they're not charging you $25-$30 for a canceled reservation. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Jim. Good morning.
How you doing?
You know, the way I look at it is, You either have reservations or you don't. You're going to charge me $5. Forget about it. I have a lot of restaurants I can pick from. I think it's going to hurt his bottom line. It may sound good on the surface, but they're going to say, yeah, that stinker's going to charge me $5. Forget it. There's many other restaurants I can go to. And besides, Nuno's, think that the parking is an issue over there. If you drive by it all the time, I don't see, it's always cars there. Where people, you don't have a parking lot. And they figure, well, the hassle, the traffic, and they says, ah, forget it. We'll change our mind.
Well, but they're only charging them if they don't show up to their reservation. If you show up and you
well,
go there,
they say, I don't go there at all. That's all. I'm not going to go there. Let them deal with it. If I'm a proprietor of a restaurant, I either charge, I either have reservations or I don't. It's first come, first serve. And if people don't want it, then they, you know, those are the options. But to be charging $5 and the word gets around, you know, when you got a bad experience, 5 people tell 10 people, they tell 20 people, and then, you know, goes on and on. It's a big snowball.
Yeah, but that bad experience will be your own fault because you're the one that didn't show up for your reservation. They're not going to charge you for the reservation unless you don't show up.
I'm just saying, it's not going to be good for business. Either he goes, reservations or not. You start doing that, forget it.
Apparently.
There's a lot of competition out there.
Yeah, apparently, you know, other restaurants do it too, though. I'm seeing a lot of comments from people that are mentioning other restaurants that have a similar policy, except they charge more than $5 a person.
Yeah. You know what's even cheaper? Eating at home. You make it the way you want it.
That is true. Although, I don't know. It's apples and oranges in some places now.
But you know something, Tim? Many people's, they don't have too much money left over after, you know, insurance and the water and the taxes and all of that. I mean, you can get out once a month. You're lucky. But I'm just saying, it's going to backfire on him.
No, we'll see.
And parking is an issue over there. I think that's hurting his bottom line, too.
I think a lot of restaurants in New Bedford have to deal with the parking issue.
Yeah, but you drive by his restaurant.
Yeah.
They're on Belleville.
Yeah, right there on Belleville. Right after that park. Yeah, right after Riverside.
Yeah. Are you hearing the story and what's happening in Providence Public Schools? It's a big story that's emerging out of there.
Yeah, I've been seeing
that. That can have an impact on all schools. They have a $450 million budget shortfall. The Providence Public Schools are receivership. It's in the court, the state of Rhode Island versus the city of Providence. And Mayor Smiley, Brett Smiley says, of Providence says, they were paying too much on their water bill, the gas, electric, and they had too many consultants advising them on the goings on of every day, how to operate the schools. You know how much they paid in the electric bill? $800,000. And the judge says to the mayor of Providence, you got to come up with $80 to $85 million.
Wow.
So they're looking at serious cuts and getting rid of the sports programs. If we don't keep our budget here in gear, that can happen to us here.
I saw that they had the students were protesting, trying to get them to keep certain programs that are on the chopping block because of this. And so, like, the students are basically saying, like, we're going to lose a lot of these programs because of this mismanagement.
Yeah, and it goes back to the previous mayor that was there. You know, he ran that school into the ground. But, you're talking about the judge saying that Providence is on the hook for the $80 to $85 million. You know, their property taxes are going to go up there, and we talk about that a lot on your show. You know, and the thing is, I think it's a cautionary tale that we need to run a very tight ship here. And you mentioned that woman that works for the city and these frivolous lawsuits, and it's costing us money. That's the thing. When you got bureaucrats and they don't think about what they're doing, it affects all of us here in our city, whether it's your homeowner, business owner, or resident. You know, because you got to pay excise taxes on your car and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the problem is. We got to run a lean, tight ship.
All right. Thank you for the call. You have a good day.
All right, Jim. You have a good morning.
All right. We'll take more calls, 508-996-0500, but I've got to take a break right now. We'll be back in a few moments.
And I've got those feelings again. I guess
one of my favorite songs. So I was taking a look at some of the comments on this story about Nuno's and the charge for no-show reservations. Some people are saying things like Judy with, I agree with this policy. I would charge a $50 no-show fee. Jimmy, who works in the restaurant industry, says, I love it. It's $25 per person at one of my jobs. So many people make multiple reservations at multiple places, especially for big tables, and just pick what they feel like and blow off the rest. It's not just rude. It's a blow to the business and the server that was practically guaranteed money, then ended up with less. Jessica says, if a place takes reservations, they should do this. People don't have the courtesy to call and cancel, not taking into account it's costing the restaurant and the server whose tables are held up for the reservation when people don't show up. Ellen says there's a number of people who do this, especially the closer you get to Boston. Disney has had a policy like this for years also. It costs you nothing if you show up or cancel your reservation. So a lot of support for it. A lot of people saying that they, you know, think it should be more. Irene chimed in and said, so if a family who reserved comes down with an illness such as COVID, they should still show up? And then the response to that is, well, of course not, but you call to cancel. And that's the point here, is that it only takes a phone call to avoid the charge. But these people, now to be fair, the restaurant groups are populated with people who work in the industry, whether they own restaurants or work in restaurants. So there's a lot of people in the industry that are in those groups, but a lot of these people are just regular frequent diners, people who that's their hobby, that's their thing. They like to go out and eat. And if they're saying, I have no problem with this policy, the only people that should really have a problem with the policy are the jerks that aren't going to show up. If you're going to make a reservation and show up, you've got nothing to worry about. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Got one more break I got to take here before the end of this hour. I'm a lover. If she's with me, I'll paint the lights to let you know tonight's the night for me and you, my part-time lover. Hey, listen, Stevie Wonder. I'm a part-time lover. I can't dedicate full-time to loving. Got so many other things I got to do. I have like a brief window of time each day set aside for some loving. That's it. You need more loving than that? I'm not your guy. I've got a brief period of time, like usually between 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. And then maybe again, I don't know, 6:45 to 7:15. Those are like my love windows. Anything beyond that, you're not getting my undivided attention.